The addition of Major General Harold Green to the casualty list in Afghanistan yesterday was a nasty blow for U.S. forces drawing down in Afghanistan and still trying to secure the country after years of war.
It's impossible to eliminate, completely eliminate that threat, I think, particularly in a place like Afghanistan. But you can work hard to mitigate it and minimize it.
That's Rear Admiral John Kirby speaking about the death of General Green at the hands of an insider, a Taliban plant or rogue agent dressed as an Afghan soldier at a training facility outside of Kabul. The first death of a U.S. general in a combat zone since Vietnam. It's a haunting symbol. Former Pentagon official Michael Rubin is the author of Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. He's a scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, John.
How would you assess the symbolic significance of this casualty, really on the way out of Afghanistan?
Well, you know, with this green-on-blue attack, the Taliban have won the lottery. It's a huge symbolic victory for them and one that's already starting to reverberate in their propaganda.
And is the symbolic significance of this casualty going to stick longer than the training that this $100 million facility is going to try to imprint on the armed forces of Afghanistan?
Well, the importance of this casualty are going to be both on the Afghanistan front and, much more importantly, on the home front, with many in Washington already questioning what our strategy is into the future. But, you know, Afghans have never lost a war. They simply defect to the winning side. Momentum means everything. So in this case, the Taliban are able to claim that they have momentum.
What do you make of the investment in training that's taken place here? I mean, you know, I'm a little flummoxed about strategy because really at this point, all we're doing is kind of turning things back over to the Afghans.
Well, you know, training is always taken as a panacea, but you're absolutely right, John, that there's every reason to question whether the training is effective. After all, if we look at the Iraq situation, the fact of the matter is we predicated our withdrawal from Iraq on two issues. One is that we could provide over-the-horizon security, and number two is that the training would be sufficient for the Iraqi army to take care of itself. With the rise of the Islamic State, we already see that that isn't necessarily the case, but no one has really taken that question in Washington to the next level, asking whether we're simply repeating the same strategy in Afghanistan. It was Albert Einstein, I think, who quipped that insanity is doing the same action repeatedly, but expecting different results each time. Well, the Taliban are showing us that we can't expect different results.
What do you make of the potential going forward of the relationship between what will be the new leadership in Afghanistan and what will eventually be the new leadership in the United States? Is this a long-term relationship, or will it be like Vietnam, where for 20 years there's nothing, and then all of a sudden it's like we're friends again?
Well, I think we will have some sort of relationship. The Afghans tend to like the American model and the American vision much more than they like what's being preached by the Taliban. That said, again, momentum means absolutely everything in this context, and Afghans are going to make an accommodation to those who they believe are sticking around. One of the most important things about this attack that killed Major General Green is that the basis of our counterinsurgency strategy is to build trust. But when you have a green-on-blue incident like this, it's clear that the counterinsurgency strategy simply isn't working.
In the broad global strategic sense, Michael Rubin, what does something like this do, you know, the moment there is a call for U.S. forces in some conflict zone that we can't even imagine over the next 10 years? Will the thoughts go back to this particular casualty? Will it make the readiness of U.S. forces less enthusiastic about the next mission?
Well, you know, there's a question whether we're going to do the after-action reports. We're going to question whether the development was the right way to go when it came to not only Afghanistan but Iraq as well. Ultimately, we have the nation-building model. We also have the Operation Desert Storm model, the lightning-quick in-and-out, if you will, Colin Powell doctrine type of conflict. And perhaps what we're going to do is swing back towards that. But, you know, there's this assumption out there among policymakers that the way to greater security is to invest in development. And I'm not sure whether anyone has fully questioned that conventional wisdom to see whether that really is true. Because when we look at both Iraq and Afghanistan, most of the expense and most of the casualties have been in the so-called Phase 4 operations when we're trying to nation build rather than in the active military phase of the conflict when we initially go in.
Michael Rubin is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, author of Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.